Okay, I am Barb Kilborn, and as you can see, on this list of authors, I'm pretty much down towards the bottom, but I was involved in it, and you know, so I hope that I can give a good presentation on what it is. I think that I understand, and this was Bob Levine, who's a second author. He would be giving a polemic right now. He is very upset about the way we do site selection for our public health interventions, because mostly what we do is we choose counties that are close to the research institution that we're at, or we choose counties that have the worst outcomes, and then, you know, you have the problem of regression to the mean. And so, essentially, we don't do a very good job of selecting where we're going to put our interventions. So we are very vulnerable to effect modification by place. Okay? And so then when we go, it's compounded by the fact is a lot of us then go and do meta-analyses of all these convenience or haphazard samples, and then we call that the evidence. But if we're doing meta-analysis of about a lot of places that are using convenience samples that are even hard to get through our IRB, we aren't getting very good information. So the current way that we are selecting counties to do our interventions really, you know, does not give us evidence, the weight of evidence for evidence-based interventions. Okay, this is the classic. This is where the same policy was put in place in two places, and this was the measles epidemic in Arkansas. The state got on board and really supported, you know, that all the kids had to have their measles inoculation before they gave to school. There were a little bit more laissez-faire in Texas, and so same policy, but different place. And so the effects came out quite differently. Okay, so what we are trying to develop is a new method to choose your communities where you're going to do your intervention, and using kind of a new way of random selection, where you kind of do, I would call it just cross-classification of places in terms of one absolute outcome and one relative outcome. In this case, the part that I really am familiar with, because I did it, was we read through a million Medicare billing records from two time periods. We had 1992 to 1995. We had 2005 to 2008. And so what we went through, and we coded using a Smith-Binman technique to code everyone who had regular screening mammography. And so we're going to use this as our example of if we want to do an intervention, which communities should we pick? Okay, and this is where it gets out of English. I don't know what he was thinking. Essentially what they're saying here is we're going to define two vectors, and we're going to cross-classify on those vectors. And one of them is going to be the black to white rate ratio, and that's going to be the relative. That's going to be the relative measure. Then we're also going to take the absolute measure, which is the white minus black rate. That's going to be the absolute measure. So it looks fancy, but that's all we're doing. We're creating two variables, okay? And then what we're going to do is cross-classify. And so if you kind of like do a simple, you know, it's a simple correlation and, you know, put quadrants in it, we're going to cross-classify people into four quadrants. Places that are doing better on both outcomes, places that are doing worse on both outcomes, better on one, worse on one. You get the picture. This is more of the mathy stuff. So once we get all the counties classified into sectors, then what we're going to do is do a random probability sample from each sector. So our ideal thing that we're getting to is to, you know, do interventions in places that have, you know, different situations to start with. Okay. I don't want to do that. Okay. So, where's my picture? Okay, so here is the data that we used to do it with. We had 1 million Medicare beneficiaries, and we then threw out some cases where there weren't 25 African-American women. We threw out counties where there weren't at least 25 African-American women living, you know, in the county between the ages of 65 and 74. Okay, so we end up with, you know, this data. We have 2,397 cases in the first period, and we have 2,253 in the second period. And the reason we threw out women older than 74 is that screening mammography, which is what we base this on, really is questionable value over age 75. If you read the literature, there's going to be the oncologists that are saying, yeah, go for it, go for it. But then you're going to see the family and the internists that are saying, well, maybe not such a good idea, because more women are going to die with breast cancer than from breast cancer in that age category. Okay, so of these counties, somehow when CMS sent us the data, Wayne County is missing, and it's bureaucracy. We can't seem to get it from them. They, you know, when I was doing this, I go, where's Detroit? Detroit is gone. Okay, so in the end, we have 1,121 counties that we're working with, and that's not really so bad. You know, like you think, oh, wow, selection, because you start out with 3,000 plus counties and you're down to 1,121. But that is not such a problem, because 97.9% of all African Americans live in 1,200 counties in the United States. So we're getting pretty good coverage of those counties. Okay, so now he's doing exactly what I said that he was doing. He's dividing it into four quadrants. And because I essentially was reviewing the paper, if you'll look to see those red lines, that you'll see the kind of XY axis in the middle. You'll see the big cross in the middle. I want to stand by this. I want, you know, this is how I would be teaching my class. If you see the blue lines in the middle, those are the axes. I actually had hissy fit when they presented it to me as I was reading it, because they wanted me to be a co-author. I go, but, you know, like, you don't really know with that error whether this is this quadrant or this quadrant. So I made them do a fifth of quintile. I made them move. I only look at classified counties into a quadrant. Are you following me a little bit? Okay? If something, so you had to be one standard deviation outside the axis for me to consider you to be cleanly put in a quadrant. Because I thought there was just too much noise if you were close to the quadrant. And I saw this as really problematic because, look, lot of the middle. And so they were going to do the selection, and a lot of that stuff is globbed up in the middle. So you see I'm very comfortable, and it's my contribution to the paper. Okay. So, essentially, what you get here is that we get, I'm going to just go through a lot. Okay, so I want my little, okay. So this is actually the quadrants that we choose. And you can see that due to the correction, almost 80% of the counties are not going to be in the random selection because they're too close to one of the axes. And so it's unclear where you can put them in. But we end up having, you know, 121 in what I believe is the good quadrant, where you had good outcomes on both the rate ratio and differences, and you had a fewer counties where you had bad outcomes, which is good, okay? So, anyway, so quadrants, so we have those four quadrants, okay? And then we can select our counties for the intervention from those quadrants. And then this means that 11% of the counties will be selected from quadrant one, and you'll have, you know, so I'm going to have to, like, look here again. I'm freaking out because, like, this is not necessarily my work, and 11% is from there, and no counties are from the two quadrants, and 10% from county from the fourth quadrant, okay? But, and none from the ones that are unclassifiable. So while the math may be a little bit weird to you, because it's a little weird to me, but essentially I understand what we're trying to do. And if you want me to go to any specific slide, I can probably think on my feet and figure it out. I have looked at it. It's just I thought I knew it, but I didn't know it as well as I wanted to. But what this does is it actually is something that will be usable to many of you when you are going to pick interventions. The bottom line is, how are you going to pick your sites if you're going to do your interventions? You're going to have to cross-classify them by an absolute and a relative term. And then you'll see that they fall out. In this case, you know, everything moves together, either in a bad way or in a good way, you know. And so you want to make sure that in this case you would take I would take four intervention sites, and we're using counties. I would pick four counties, and I would select two counties from where there were bad outcomes and two counties that were good outcomes, and then do a case control study for my intervention. And so the takeaway point, well, I'm sure that I could do better on the math if I wanted to, but is that we need to, you know, like move away from using these haphazard or convenience samples in public health. In my discipline, which is kind of across sociology and economics, this would not get through an IRB. Using a convenient sample would not get through an IRB board, because when my students do that, they say it, you know, like when there's no cost or harm to subjects, they go, it is a harm to subjects, you're wasting their time. That's what comes back on the writing, is you're wasting your subject's time, which is harm. So this is a pretty dramatic departure from how many of us do interventions, because it's easier to do them out your back door. So what I take away from this, what else is in here, is that, you know, this is the importance of meetings like this, because we need cross-collaboration, where someone, you know, like, I'm from Nashville. If you wanted to do this for your implementation and Nashville came out in your probability sample, you would have, like, you know, a ready team in Nashville to go for you. You're in North Carolina, which is actually in the quadrant of good counties. You know, like, so that would be one of them that could be picked from, it has a chance of being picked as the good county. And so I would maybe be able to put a place and get in contact her and put a, you know, a team in place and get the work done that way. So do you guys, you know, like, what do you guys think about this? You think that it's okay to just use the community center right outside your door? This is the way I teach. Okay.
Go back to the slide.
Which one?
The graph.
The graph.
Yeah. This one? Okay. So.
So you have a place where, you know, like Washington, D.C., Denver, there's really not any labeled counties that are in what I believe is the good quadrant there. That's usually the good quadrant, the one on the upper left.
So you said,
because you want the rate ratio. I don't know why. Okay, go on.
You said, so if you were to do this,
well, you could pick two. You probably would pick four so you could do a case comparison, one where you did your intervention and one where it was your control county.
So how did you come up with that number? Is there a way to find out what would be statistically significant, how many would be?
How many? Well, no, because the cases are going to be the people in the intervention. This is where I can talk comfortably. It's a multi-level model. So, you know, you're going to have four, you know, like, you, let's say you had four sites. The four sites would then become the dummy variables, and then you would have all the cases, the actual cases would be embedded in those sites. So So you, if you had 200 people participating in intervention at site 1 and site 2 and site 3 and site 4, you'd have 800 people. So you'd get enough power. You'd have to figure out the power thing. But the differences would be, first of all, if you're in, you know, like in one quadrant or the other quadrant would be one of the things that we would want to see if there was a difference in effect size. Or if you, and of course we would want to know if you were in a control versus a experimental group. Don't look so puzzled. I did this yesterday too, and usually I'm the best math explainer, but it's just, this is like, you can see that in the, you can see that in the, like, getting this ready, my unique contributions were, no, it's too close to the axis. No, you can't do it like that. And then otherwise, you know, I had Vincent explain it to me, but, you know, you wouldn't have understood if he explained it anyway, so.
That'd be cool if you added one more variable and made like a three-dimensional graph.
Yeah, that would be cool. So we're going to have to talk. Is there anything else? Come on, ask me something. Ask me about Medicare billing records. Ask me about, you know, his county, San Bernardino County, it's got one of the worst rates of breast cancer screening mammography in the country. So you know a lot. Nobody? Okay, I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to run it like one of my classes. I was just going to, what are your interests in attending this session? Why did you get a company at 8:30 in the morning to a statistics session? Anybody else? No? Okay. Well, where I am is that I usually am the conduit between the domain scientists and the people like Vincent who have math PhDs. I'm usually the one that can, you know, talk to both of them. Well, thank you for coming and thank you for putting up with this. But